Hey, Jay and Laura, Jim Daly here, along with John Fuller.
Yeah, hi there.
Hey, we wanted to take a moment and just say thank you for sharing your great content with our Focus on the Family audience. Your program was received so well.
Yeah, in fact, it was one of our most popular programs of the year.
And your humor and practical encouragement really helped our listeners invest in their marriages. And I know that so many more marriages will be blessed. Thank you again for making this broadcast such a success.
And we wish you God's richest blessings in 2026.
And if you understand coming into it what the so-called purpose of this evening is,
yeah, that's good.
It becomes a lot easier to put the phone down, to focus on your spouse, and to really make a concerted effort to meet them where they're at.
That's Jay LaFoon, and he and his wife Laura join us today on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly. They're going to be talking about being intentional in dating your spouse. Thanks for joining us. I'm John Fuller.
John, I'm looking forward to the conversation today. You know, often we get wrapped up in the busyness of life. I'm guilty of that. And we'll go weeks without doing a date night. We have a little Mexican restaurant that we like to go to
Nice.
And enjoy the patio. But, you know, now there's snow out there, so I got to come up with something new. But I'm looking forward to making this as easy as it can be made for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because our guests have this wonderful book, Ultimate Date Night, 52 Amazing Dates for Busy Couples. So all you need to do is pick this up and, like, go through it. Date night one, date night two. It's that easy. So you don't have any excuses now.
Well, especially since we're getting an executive summary of the book from the authors. So the next 20-25 minutes are going to be the condensation of this book, but you're going to want it because we're not going to cover all 52 date ideas.
That's true.
I'm really excited, Jim, because
are you really excited?
Well, I am, because tonight is a date night, so I'm going to walk away with something.
That's fantastic.
To apply tonight.
I'm taking the boys to a basketball game, that
does not count.
Yeah, no. Gene didn't want to go.
Yeah.
I'm just going to check it off as a date night.
Unless she's going to take a warm bath at home. That'll bike out.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a different date night, right?
Well, the LaFoons have been here before. They're kind of edutainers. They love to educate through entertainment, and they are just so fun to listen to. And so I know you're going to lean in and enjoy this conversation today.
Jay and Laura, welcome back.
Great to be here.
Good to be here.
Honored to be here.
You. All right, Laura, you're representing all women today.
Okay.
You're at the table with 3 minutes.
Small burden.
It's 3-1, which Laura says, okay, that's fair.
I can still win.
I can handle it.
Why are you two so passionate about married couples doing date nights? What's the benefit?
You know, I think we're so passionate about it because it's just something that we've naturally done. We've always enjoyed being together. There's not any time that I can remember that we were like, get out of my face, you know, that we didn't like each other, that we have a lot of similar hobbies. And so for us, it's never been a big deal to find stuff to do together. We're always finding new stuff. But one of the things that we do as a part of our ministry is called the Ultimate Date Night. And we travel across the country to churches and communities and do a 90-minute show. And we would get emails after email after email that would say, hey, thanks for that date night, but what do we do now? What else can you tell us to go do on a date? And we're like, I mean, and we would answer those emails. We just like, hey, you could do this, you could do this. And then we were like, why don't we just write a book? Let's just write a book and make it simple for people, because we live in a culture where everybody does just want to pick up. Let me open the app.
Yeah,
let me pick up
do.
The book. Let me tell me what to do. And so that really is, for us, it wasn't something that we had to work hard at, but we realize the more we do marriage ministry that this is something people really need.
And full disclosure, we have not done every one of these dates. Some of these dates are people that we know and we know are creative, and we've said, hey, tell us a couple of the dates that you've been on that you guys got creative with. So
get on the block here, Jay. Come on. Step up the pace, buddy. Come on. Well, that's good. And it's like best of practices.
Yes.
I'll go to you, Laura, once again. What are some examples of date nights? Just give us a flavor of some things that we can do.
Okay,
for
well,
those
I'm going to give you
cliff
my
notes.
I'm going to give you my favorite, and it's a free date night. So that's
even better.
Exactly. In the book, we tried to do some that are free, some that are a little bit of cost, some that might cost a little more. And we try and, in the book, we give you a key, if that's the...
Oh, that's good.
A legend, here's what this means. And so...
A dollar sign, no
exactly.
dollar sign, $3 sign.
One of my favorites is free, and this actually came from a friend of ours. They are a married couple that have 5 children, all very young. And so date nights were very difficult for them to you have to get a babysitter. That's going to cost. Oh, yeah. Or we have to go, well, yeah, if we go to dinner, that's going to cost. Well, and so what they would do is they put all the kids to bed, and he has a pickup truck. They would back the pickup truck out into the driveway. They'd put two camp chairs in the back of the pickup truck. They'd turn on their music, and they would sit and watch the stars and have conversation. And they said they could sit and do that for hours. I'm like, what a great idea. You know, many of us, and if you don't have a pickup truck, just put the chairs in the middle of your driveway, on your patio, wherever it is. But it was free, you know, and I was like, that is such a great idea. We do that, again, without even thinking, especially coming from Michigan in the middle of summer. We sit on our patio and just talk for hours, and it's a great date. Doesn't cost.
Yeah, and everything we're going to point to is all the good things you can do. But I got to ask Jay this question. Come on, give me a date night gone wrong.
A date night gone wrong. Oh,
this is what I want, because this is where we really live.
Yes. So Laura's turning 40. Okay. Not anytime soon here. Oh, but
a while back.
She's turning 40. And I'm like, we've got this spa that is 20 minutes from our house. I thought to myself, I'm going to get her a couples massage. Because wouldn't that just be so much fun? Now, I'm picturing we're laying side by side.
Yeah, talking.
Talking. Well, forgetting also that my wife grew up in the South and lives in a box. And unless you're invited in that box, she does not want to be touched. In other words, she's not a big huggy person.
Okay, right.
And we pull up to the spa. She's like, what are we doing? So we're getting a couples massage. For my birthday. I said, yeah. I said, I know it was very expensive, but, you know, I just thought it'd be great. She's like, you know, I don't like to be touched.
I'm like, you're getting me a massage?
And right
seriously?
Then I'm just like, oh my goodness.
No, I'm with you. Jean's thing is just being in the same room if we were to do that. She's like, I want to sleep. I want to, you know. Well,
and that's what happened. So I'm thinking couples massage. We get in there. We've got our robes on. And this lovely young lady comes in and says, Laura, I'll take you. And so I'm like, well, what? And then Sven walks in. And, I mean, he's literally 6'2", built like
best massage of your life.
No. It was painful.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He worked out all the kinks.
And I didn't like it. I get out. I said to Laura, I'm never doing that again. She came out and she goes, that was wonderful.
Oh, so that's good.
It had elements of bad and good.
But well, that sounds like a little trick on you.
Then. Yeah. Yeah,
so you never know what the Lord's
but
up
yeah,
to.
We
there.
You never know what your wife is up to.
We pulled into that parking lot, and I'm like, we're doing what?
Yes.
For my birthday? Seriously, yeah. You could have just taken me to a mall and given me a credit card, and I would have been fine.
Yeah, I'm going to let you redeem yourself, Jay, because you also had one in there about snuggling in front of a fire and that being the date night. Describe that one. That sounded like a home run.
You know, sometimes the simplest things speak the most. My wife's love language is quality time. And so anytime, especially when we had kids, if I could arrange for the kids to be either at friend's house or grandma and grandpa's house, and it's just the two of us, you know, we would snuggle in front of the fire. Now, again, true confession, we do not have a real fireplace, okay. But we have a thing that resembles a fire. And I also know that on Netflix, you can get a fire on your TV.
And it even crackles.
And it even does. Crackles. But just, you know, sitting there with no intention other than to be with her and to, you know, talk about what she wants to talk about.
Sometimes we would do puzzles or play card games. I mean, it doesn't have to be like you just sit and snuggle.
Snuggle.
Because we just said, I don't like to be touched, but that's okay.
But, you know, it's figuring out what your spouse desires.
Huh.
And it's not need, it's desire. And I don't think there's anything wrong with the fact that she desires to have quality time with me. It's not an evil desire. So what does she desire? So let's make that happen.
Yeah.
And that's what these dates are
about.
That's good. I'll never forget, we're doing a date night in Ohio, rural Ohio, and we were in a cafetorium. So it was their cafeteria and auditorium all in
okay,
one.
Yes.
Cafe-gymatorium. So it was also their gym.
Cafe-gymatorium.
And there was this old couple. They were sitting under a can light. So I watched them the whole time. They had to be in their 80s. And they were just embracing each other. And after, they came to buy some books and they said, young man, I said, yes, you need to let all these young people know what you did to get your spouse is what you need to do to keep your spouse.
Oh, that's good.
That is gold, you know. And so that's the dating thing. Yeah. You dated. You spent money. You did things
you
together.
You talked.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's what that says.
That's a big one.
You used to talk to me a lot more when
exactly.
we were dating. Has anybody ever heard that?
Oh, yeah.
Let me ask this again for younger couples who might be captive to screens. I mean, how many restaurants that Gene and I have gone to, and we're really good about putting phones away when we're having dinner. If it's at home, same thing. If we're at a restaurant, the same thing. But you look around the restaurant, I mean, families of three, four, five, they're all looking at their screens. Mm-hmm. Nobody's talking.
Right.
And so speak to that need to put that away.
It's funny because...
That's not a date night.
No, it's not. I believe it was... I can't remember who did this study, but they said the average American couple spends 4 minutes a day alone together. And they qualified that by saying no screens. So alone means no screens. 4 minutes a day.
Wow.
That's frightening because it just, communication is so hard to begin with. And when you're not spending any time doing it, it complicates matters.
Right.
So there are a couple of things in the book I'd like to ask about because I get that. And I think we're pretty good about that. But purpose. You mentioned that dates should have purpose, which seems kind of counter to just hanging out and serving my spouse. So how do I inject some purpose into a date where I'm trying to give them what they're desiring, to Jay's point?
Well, I think that is what the purpose is.
Okay.
The purpose of whatever the date is. Well, first of all, when we first started floating ideas out there to people, you know, when they would email and I'd go, well, what about if you do this or do this? The response 99% of the time was, but I don't like to do that. I don't like to go for walks. I don't like to go for bike rides. That would be Jay. I would love to go for a bike ride. Well, it's not about what you want to do. It's about what your spouse wants to do. What can you? And so what we encourage couples to do, and we do this in our coaching program, is Jay writes down five dates that would be like his ultimate dates. What would he want to do on a date? I write down my five dates of what I would want to do for a date. And then look at those lists and see how you compare them together. What can you do so you both get to do something you enjoy doing? One of the things that I love to do is to go for bike rides. One of the things Jay loves to do is to go out to eat. That's an easy one. We can go bike ride downtown in our little town and go to our cafe and go have a meal. That's an easy one. And sometimes they're more difficult. You know, like I love to do cooking classes and Jay likes to go golf.
I like to eat.
Jay likes to golf. So how can we put those two? You know, you've got to be creative, but I think the purpose of every date, sometimes it's a purpose of we're going to go do this because we have tickets to a Broncos game or whatever. So that's the purpose, is to go watch this game.
I like you more and more. You're from Michigan. How about a Lions game? The Lions
commitment
are good.
To come
I
to watch
said,
it.
Yeah. But, you know, the purpose is to just be together. So often, and I think Jim said this in the beginning, we are so busy that we neglect connecting. We neglect that time because we think, you know, when the kids are grown and our jobs have settled in and blah, then we'll still be there. If you haven't built into this relationship, you're not still going to be there 15 years down the road, you know, when the kids are gone.
Let me ask you this, because temperaments are so critical. You know, we tend to marry people that are opposite. Not everybody. I don't mean to overgeneralize, but let me just overgeneralize. You know, Gene and I, I'm extrovert. She's introvert. She loves communication, deep communication. She's the person that walks into a big room and she'd like to be with three people and really get to know them. That is like, oh my goodness, how could you do that? I want to say hi to, you know, all 150 people. I really don't want to know much about you. Other than this is fun, isn't it? It's fun to be here, right? Good to see you. Bye. Okay. You know, so that's just the illustration at its extreme. But when you're in this context of a date night, you know, you do have people that have bents. You know, you have people that are deep inward thinkers, that are numbers people. They're not given to outward communication. They're trying to figure out what you're thinking. So how do you as a couple improve that communication with that goal in mind with someone who is not that talkative, might be more introverted, husband or wife? How do you recognize that? Because you're trying to help them out of a hole in the communication.
Right.
That's a great question. And I think one of the things that we've always come back to is because Laura loves to shop. And early in our marriage, I would literally go shop.
Let's be clear, I don't have to buy. I just like to shop.
Oh, that's even worse.
She doesn't have to buy.
Why would you be shopping without the goal of buying?
But I detested it. I couldn't stand it.
I'm with you.
I would make life miserable on those Saturdays we would go to the mall. And finally someone said to me, Jay, why are you doing this? Because it's important to Laura. This is something she enjoys. why would you do that? And I began to change slowly to see the joy that she found in the way that she was wired. And so, do I enjoy shopping? No, but I enjoy watching her enjoy that. And, you know, as far as helping someone change their temperament, I don't know that we can.
Well, you can't change them, but it's how to encourage them to come out of that shell. Mm-hmm.
Well, to just,
if I could say it that way.
Again, true confession, I'm an introvert.
Okay.
And we were talking before the show about our little neighborhood parties.
Yes.
I can't stand them. I'm like, Laura, don't make me go. Please, just let me stay home and watch football. But this last one we had, I got in the car when we were done, and I said, that was really fun. Thanks for making me go.
Yeah.
And it was, so sometimes we do these things to stretch our spouse a little out of their comfort zone. And when we do that, and we do that gently, because she did it very gently, but she's like, Jay, these are our neighbors. We got to love them. We've got to, show them Jesus, because a lot of them don't know Jesus.
I love your attitude. That's great. Okay, got to show them Jesus. Okay, Laura, let's go.
Yeah. It's like taking your kids to church on Sunday morning when they've been screaming and yelling, we're going to go learn about the love of Jesus. Get in the car.
That's right. Argue all the way to church. That's for sure.
Well, I don't know how long you've been married, but if you're married, you can probably relate to some of what we're talking about today with Jay and Laura LaFoon. Get a copy of this terrific little resource that they have, Ultimate Date Night, 52 Amazing Dates for Busy Couples. You're going to find all sorts of great ideas here and some underlying principles to help grow as a couple. And we have copies of the book here. The details are at focusonthefamily.com or give us a call, 800, the letter A in the word family.
You know, we have a growing number of listeners, which is great, that have younger children in the home. And that, for Gene and I, just out of our own experience with Trent and Troy when they were younger, it was hard to do a date night. I mean, you said earlier the babysitter thing and all that. And, frankly, Gene didn't trust a lot of the babysitters. Now, the kids almost burnt down our house one time, so that might be the reason why. Completely logical. But, on top of that, just the pace of life. Speak specifically to that phase in life. Mm. And, sometimes we can kick ourselves that we haven't done date night in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it might be. And then you load guilt on top of a really busy schedule. That's not the goal here. The goal is to just get into a rhythm that you can get out and do this because it's really healthy for you.
Yes, it is. And especially building that habit of dating when your kids are young and your marriage is young. Because if you build it when they're in the home, then when they're out of the home, you already have that habit. But we do totally get the expense of babysitters. We highly recommend grandparents. As grandparents, we highly recommend grandparents. But we also encourage couples, especially if you're involved in a church or maybe you're involved in a small group with couples who are in the same walk of life, you can share childcare.
Yeah.
And what I mean is Jay and I are going to go out this weekend and, hey, can you guys take our kids Friday night?
Yeah, that's great.
And then we'll take your kids next Friday night. Sharing that responsibility, sharing that, then you give everybody a chance to have a date night. It doesn't cost you anything. It just, other than you have somebody else's kids in your home.
But sometimes that can be a good thing because it keeps your kids entertained. And we were sharing this at a workshop one time, and this guy came up to me. He had to be in his 30s. He said, Jay, my parents were brilliant. I said, what do you mean? Uncle Al and Aunt Janine. I'm like, what do you mean? He said, well, I thought they were my uncles, but no, they were just who we went to when mom and dad went on a date. Uh-huh. And then their kids would come over and we were close as families and it just worked and it was cheap.
But it is important in that young married, young kids, because the kids demand so much of your time and your jobs demand your time and just life demands so much of time to have that hour. Again, that's why we have so many in the book of free dates, things that you can do that don't cost a lot of money, so that if you do need to spend the money on childcare, you can spend the money on childcare and then just go for a walk.
I could just see the husband looking through the book going with a little highlighter, this one,
this
page four, this one, all the free dates. Don't do that. Occasionally spend some money.
Well, related to that, there are special occasions. And it
Absolutely.
Feels like there's a lot of stress and pressure on these special occasions. In fact, we went to a marriage getaway one time, and we had one of the worst fights ever in our marriage. It was like, I think it was because of the expectations and the stress of young kids in the home. So talk a little bit about how we can kind of let go of those expectations and maybe appropriately celebrate
the
big ones.
Well, I think of our, in December, we will celebrate 40 years.
Yay!
And at the same time. And so I'm a big celebrate person. I love to celebrate everything. And so, you know, I've been thinking about, ooh, our 40th anniversary, what are we going to do? We're going to go to Chicago. We're going to go to Florida. We're going to sit home, blah, blah, blah. Well, at the same time, the weekend that we celebrate our 40th is also our son's 34th birthday.
Sorry, son.
And he's
your mother doesn't know your birthday.
He's gonna be alone. He's gonna be alone. He is divorced, and so his kids will be with their mother. So I'm like, I can't have my son spend his 34th birthday. I mean, it's the first birthday.
That's great.
But it's our 40th anniversary, and I'm like, okay, so we're going to spend our 40th Woo-hoo! Anniversary with our son.
Well, you got part A and part B.
And we're going to go where he wants to go. So I've already said to Jay, the next weekend we will be going and doing something I want to do. But I think I've learned to just, we can celebrate without it being over the top. I do think there are times, I mean, we do our Celebrate Your Marriage conference and we have people who come to celebrate their 10th, 15th, 25th wedding anniversary. It's a big deal. But I think that there are times when you go, you know what? This is something to celebrate. 40 years is something to celebrate, mm-hmm. but let's try and celebrate it in a little more calmer.
Well, I'm sure you guys are good friends with Gary Thomas, the author.
Oh, yes.
Good friend of ours. And one of my favorite quotes from Gary is, the problem with marriage is we expect too much from it.
Yeah, that's right.
And I mean, I think that sometimes we build all these expectations up. And no, you know, Laura did not marry Jesus Jr. I mean, I am a human being with flaws.
But you're so close.
You know? You know, but
and
all the wives
right
went, what?
Yeah, but so you're going to disappoint. You're going to have those moments where our expectations are unmet. But as loving couples, we need to nurture and encourage each other during those times that, you know, this wasn't quite what we expected. But let's look at the good things that came out of it.
But I do think there's also times for anticipation.
Yeah.
When you do have a big, you know, 10, 15, 20, 25, anticipating those, you know, not the day before, but thinking about it as it's coming up. And what can you do that would be fun? But try and eliminate the stress.
Let's also educate young couples. When your wife says, I don't need anything. I don't want anything. Can you believe I took the bait? Yeah. Oh, I think I'm still paying for that.
This happened to you, didn't it?
You know, it was like the fourth or fifth, I don't know, some early anniversary.
The problem is for us men, if we say I don't need anything, guess what?
We mean
I don't
it.
Need it. Yeah.
But yeah, that's not what she's saying.
No, not
we're
at
trying
all.
To alleviate your guilt and stress, but think of something. Just think of something.
Only yet to add more to the guilt. Yeah. You thought I didn't want anything?
This is a trap.
Who said that? You know, one of the things too, you know, oftentimes a date night can turn into a business meeting.
Uh-huh.
And we got to be really careful. We've talked a lot about what types of date nights to have through your great book, Ultimate Date Night, 52 Amazing Dates for Busy Couples. Now let's talk about the content of the date night. You don't talk budget. You don't talk about problem with the kids.
Yep.
Don't talk about the in-laws and where you're going to go for Thanksgiving or Christmas. This is time to be more intimate.
Right.
Well, and this is why some of these are so good, because you're so active in the date that we've got that you can't really be talking. You know, for example, one of my favorites is called The Treasure Hunt. And most people don't know there's a thing called geocaching, which you can download an app on your phone, and you can go out and find these little treasures. Well, while you're doing that, you're going to have some conversation, but you're not going to be conversating about the kids or about business. Another one where you're probably not going to be talking about kids is when you go axe throwing together. You know,
haven't tried that one.
Yeah, that's
you know, if you're not on good terms in that moment, I don't think that would be a good
requires
one.
Requires great trust.
I'm so sorry, honey, it slipped.
That's right. Yeah. But you know, I mean, there's certain activities that are just going to lend themselves to not having conversation.
Yeah, I want to put a caveat even on that, because there was a time when we were having a date and Dina was talking about the kids. And I'm like, no, I don't want to talk about the kids right now. And she looked at me and she said, that's what's on my heart right now.
Mm.
And I realized, okay, I can't be like black and white about
right.
this. If that's really where she's at, we're not going to score points by saying nope. So we have to be sensitive, don't we?
That's very true. But also, we're big proponents of encouraging couples to spend 15 minutes every day in uninterrupted conversation. So kids are in bed, before the kids wake up, whenever it is, just look at each other eyeball to eyeball and have and that's where those conversations happen. That's where you plan the next Christmas, the vacation. Mm-hmm. You talk about the kids, what's going on. Then when you go on your date nights, that need has already been met. Mm-hmm. And if you can build that habit, then when you go on a date, you can be more intentional about being with each other and talking about your marriage and those types of happenings.
Yeah, and that's a good reminder. The other thing you can fall into is that feeling like this is a box you check.
Yes.
You know, and I think maybe men would fall into that trap a little bit more. Okay, I'm doing it. What more do you want from me?
Dinner and a movie.
Yeah,
dinner
boom.
And a movie.
Check dinner the box. And a movie. Wasn't that a good movie? Did you like the movie? Good. I've been intimate now, emotionally. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and so you have to like have the, not the letter of the law about date night, but the heart and the spirit of it. Yeah. You got to aim for that.
Right.
And some people will struggle with that just naturally. It's not because they're bad people.
Right.
It's just my head's not there. How do you get your head there and get your head in the game?
Right. I think you have to really take a conscious look at what is the purpose of this date. We didn't do this specifically, but we've kind of, there's two different types of dates. There's romantic dates and there's adventure dates. And some are more romantic, some are less romantic, some are more adventuresome, some are less adventuresome. But if you go into there knowing, you know, we love to whitewater raft. Well, that's not going to be a romantic date. You know, that's going to be an adventure date, but we both love it, so let's go do it. As opposed to, we also like fine dining. That's going to be a romantic date. And if you understand coming into it what the so-called purpose of this evening is,
yeah, that's good.
It becomes a lot easier to put the phone down, to focus on your spouse, and to really make a concerted effort to meet them where they're at.
So really, again, what you're talking about is setting expectations. That's what that is,
yep.
As to what the date night is about. And do that probably a little bit gently in some cases, and other times pretty forthrightly. You know, what's on for tonight?
Right.
What are we trying to aim at? Mm-hmm. I mean, that, again, with black and white thinkers, that's really helpful. They actually like that. My wife's a biochemistry person. She always wants me to say chemistry. Isn't that funny right there? She took biology classes, but no, it's not biochemistry, it's chemistry. Okay, sorry. She's a chemistry person. But I mean, that is a black and white thinker, you know. She does measurements very carefully, making pancakes, all that kind of thing. And I need to be more explicit about these things,
right.
Be plain spoken, and that helps her. Sometimes I don't want to be. I want a more elusive kind of idea.
You want to be spontaneous.
Oh, my goodness. That's the problem,
yeah.
That she doesn't manage spontaneity, and I don't manage straightforwardness. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's just one of the things that
I don't think that's uncommon. I think that's a lot of people, because I want a plan. I want a plan, and I don't want to deviate from the plan, whereas Laura's like,
whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, one of
let's
the
just
key,
go.
Yeah, I like that. One of the key things in these moments, and again, this is a great attribute of my wife, Jean. She loves a spiritual element. We've talked pretty much the whole time, where's God in all this, and how do we, as Christians, how do we honor him and invite him into this in a way that, you know, it makes sense. It's not concocted. It's real.
Every good and pleasing gift comes from the Lord. And I think when we realize that our spouse is that good and pleasing gift, and we're honored to be able to be with them, one of the things that we've tried to do with most of the dates is to have because I'm a preacher at heart, according to my wife, is to have a spiritual tone to it. You know, what is, and again, like with the axe throwing, iron sharpens iron. Well, honey,
I'm sorry. That's a funny one. Bing. Oh, honey, sorry.
It's a good
iron
date.
Sharpening, or iron sharpens iron. Right. Yeah.
Or the geocaching, finding treasure in, you know, we're in clay pots, but we're a treasure in a clay pot. And so trying to, that's what these date nights for, those that are not necessarily bent on the spiritual side of life. This is just a gentle nudge towards how you can bring God into the date.
Yes. In the book, we do have some helpful hints for discussion that points you towards spiritual things,
yeah.
Towards God, place that you can journal if you're that type of person. Here's what we did. Here's what we talked about. You know, those kinds of things, if you want to keep that. I'm more the journaler than Jay is, but yeah, that's definitely, God has brought you together for a reason. And so God is a part of this union, and we want to make sure that you steer your dates that direction.
And scripture's clear. I mean, Song of Solomon is basically one big date. You know, they're pursuing one another. And that's what dating is about, is pursuing one another in a way that garners that romance, that garners those feelings that we first had when we were married.
A little bit cultural difference, you know. You remind me of a great goat. or pomegranate or whatever, right? You gotta kind of go with the culture.
There was also the goat's teeth, I think, were involved.
The goat's teeth, the goat's hair. Don't try that one.
That's right.
It doesn't work today. But this has been great, you guys. Thanks so much. What a wonderful help. Ultimate Date Night, 52 Amazing Dates for Busy Couples. You made it as easy as it can be. And as we said, the recap, there's no expense, some expense, and more expense in some of these date nights. So it's up to you to figure out which one you want to lay out there at that moment. And, you know, like we often do, if you can make a gift of any amount, we'll send you the copy of the book. And that way we're doing ministry together. You're part of the team, helping other couples, saving babies' lives, helping parents be better parents. Why not do a win-win-win? Mm-hmm. So send a gift, we'll send you the book, and you can get with the date nights.
Yeah, call us today and donate generously as you can. Our number is 800, the letter A in the word family, 800-232-6459, or we've got all the details at focusonthefamily.com. And when you're at the website, be sure to look for a list of free conversation starters that we have for you. Our marriage team has compiled a list of at least 100 different things that you can use to kind of kick off your conversation when you're on a date. So check that link out, and I think you'll enjoy that as well.
Hey, Jay and Laura, thank you so much. This has been fun and insightful. So thank you so much.
Our pleasure. Mm-hmm. Thanks for having us.
And thank you for joining us today for Focus on the Family with Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller, inviting you back next time as we once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.